welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I'd like just to put up a lead scripture here, Romans 4:17. One of a few. Ryan says when I gave him the scripture this morning, I might as well give him the whole Bible. There's that many, but they're just really for us to refer to in what God wants to do with us this morning. So Romans 4:17, we'll just read on a few of those and a few of those verses. Before we read it, let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your purpose in our lives. Lord, your purpose for every individual here this morning, it is the same yesterday, today, forever. I thank you, Lord, at all that you've planned and purposed, your promises for every one of us, Lord God. They are still available, and they are still there in faith for every one of us in Jesus' name. So I thank you this morning, Lord, at every heart as we lift up our greatest needs to you, Lord, whether it's for healing, whether it's for emotional restoration, whether it's for our finances, Lord, whether it's for giftings, whatever it is this morning, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you encompass it all and protect it, and it is always, therefore, accessible. There is nothing that has gone beyond the realm of faith and hope this morning, and even things that have been broken can be restored because of your promise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as we come to read this, just carry on this morning from our prayer and fasting. We had a wonderful week of prayer and fasting, and through that week, there was, if you remember, just a direction, a flow of the Holy Spirit through us. And then following on from David's message last week as to what God is doing through us and in us in 2018. Now, some of the words that he's given us right at the start of this year were realignment, resetting. If you remember that word, resetting. And that was not just to do the same as before, but when God resets, he takes the former things and makes them new and, in fact, even stronger and better to do a new thing. So it's a complete resetting, like resetting a bone. If there are dreams that have been broken, when God restores that to your life, it is actually better than what you could have hoped for before. That's why when servants of God or people through the Bible, Job being one in particular, when he came to the end of his trials, because what God actually reset in his life was far beyond what he could have imagined or thought. He said, it was good that I had been afflicted. So even right now, if there are areas of your life where you are afflicted, broken, you can think that how can ever anything good come out of this? The message this morning is one of hope, because God will reset your life, and he can do it at any time. And it's always available. Amen. Another word was activation, because every one of you has gifts, deposits, strength, and there is a call of God on your life. That's the point. There is a call of God on every individual this morning that will never go away. And regardless of our choices and our free will, that does not change God's plan and call on your life. And he will always fulfill it the moment you realign yourself with him. Amen. And so I'm thinking of, in this message this morning, the church, all of God's promises for the church in 2018 for us, but also God's promises over you. Think of it as an individual this morning. And if there's time, I would like there to be time for prayer for those that want to come forward for prayer. And just lift up any area of your life or the life of those around you that God, the Holy Spirit, puts in your heart this morning. So, Jesus, before he left, he said to his disciples, my peace I leave with you. And that word peace, so in the last night of the prayer and fasting, I just shared briefly a picture that God had given me, and I want to elaborate that this morning. And Jesus used the word peace. He says, "My peace I leave with you," and then he says, "My peace I give you." And that word peace, we all know, comes from the word shalom, and that word shalom means actually nothing broken and nothing missing. In other words, there is completeness available to your life. If you're empty this morning, if you are at a place where you don't even know whether you're saved, there is a plan of salvation for your life that will never miss you as long as you choose it. And that word peace means nothing broken and nothing missing. So that's why in the realm of humanity, there is a dimension where you can have absolute peace in the midst of the storm. Because whilst it seems, and there's a big word, whilst it seems that the things in your life have been broken, destroyed, stolen, it's too late. If Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you and give to you," and that means nothing is broken and nothing is missing, well then, there is a realm through which, no matter what the circumstances, we can have hope and absolute peace in this life. So Romans 4:17, let's just read on from that scripture. And this is a famous scripture. When we start to read it, you will recognize it. And it's Abraham, and again, in the New Testament explanation of what went on with Abraham there, it says, "As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations." And this is where Abraham believed God. "In the presence of him whom he believed." Now, speaking of God, it says, God, and we sang this in our last song, who gives life to the dead. So that's, God can do anything. And think of the dreams. Think of those areas in your life right now that even maybe you think are dead and beyond repair. Gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, this was another scripture that came through Gemma in the prayer and fasting. And again, as she said it, it was just bringing together really the theme of that night, and I wanted to minister on it. Another scripture version says that God calls those things which are not as though they were. Now, we know it, that they, not as though they are, but as though they were. Now, there's a complete difference between God saying those things are okay for your life, they can be restored, they can be available to you, or him making the statement that he calls those things which are missing right now as though they have always been in your life and still are. That's the point. Verse 18. So who, contrary to hope, we'll just read through a few of the verses here. Contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, that is every promise that has ever taken place over your life, from before birth, because maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home, maybe you haven't. If you have been brought up in a Christian home, I'm sure your parents were praying over your life before you were born. And many of us have even had the prophetic over our lives before we've been born, through natural men. But every single one of us has had God speak over our lives before we were born. Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm telling us all about that. That even while we were being fashioned in our mother's womb, God knew us. Even before there was any of our state or form, God knew us. He knew you His thoughts towards you right then were multitude. And God has been speaking over your life from the foundation of the world. And there's no accidents. You are not here by accident. You're here by God's design. And if God designed you, then He has a call in your life. He's put giftings and talents in your life. He's put dreams around you that you can enjoy and experience. And every opportunity the same, because God is no respecter of persons. And there's not one that's given another opportunity greater than another. So God has spoken over your life. He's written it. Psalm 139 says, He's written every day when as yet there was none of them. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that absolutely awesome? So if God is not a man that he cannot lie, if He's literally written on every page of your life, and those pages that you've yet to live, God has written it, then surely all of those things can and will come to pass in your life. So when Abraham was coming before God, he was realizing that God calls those things which were missing from his life. That's why, which are not. So think of your life right now. Think of those things which are not. How many times do we read the Bible and we read a scripture and say, well, that's not my experience. That's not my life. My life doesn't match that. I don't have hope. I don't have peace. I don't have joy. I've got a broken relationship here. I'm in pain here. I've got this disease. I've got this ailment. And we look at all of God's promises and the ones that are missing from our lives in our experience. God calls those things which are not as though they already were, have been, are always available, and always will be. So there must be a realm in faith through which we can always access them at all times. Amen. And so I just want you in your mind, if I had more time, I would have asked Tanya to do a beautiful graphic for this morning, but just in your mind, a very simple graphic picture, very similar to what God had given me in the prayer and fasting, which I want to share with you this morning, is just think of yourself in the midst of a circle around your life, okay? So just you, and draw a circle around your life. Now that circle represents this natural sphere where your experience and the things that are seen. Okay? So there's you right in the middle. Now draw it around your life. And every one of us are different. We've got different experiences. There's different things that are missing in our immediate experience from my life than are from yours. I would hope that there's nothing missing from your life in your experience. But we all know the challenges of life. And if we're being honest, there are dreams, there are hopes, there are things, and there are challenges that right now, today, you face in your experience and in the realm of sight. So that is you in the middle of that circle. Okay? Now that is a sphere where we have an enemy. The Bible says that John 10, verse 10, that the thief has come, that's the devil, that's the demonic realm, to steal, kill, and destroy. And in that circle, that's where he operates. Taking out of your life. Stealing your dreams. Killing your hopes. That's that inner circle. That is this natural sphere of life. So if that's in your mind, and you're in the middle of it, you can put anything in there. Think of your hopes. Think of even work. Think of all the things that you would, if you were to sit down and say, this is what I want. Anything that's missing from that circle, out of the desires of your heart, it's not missing by God's design. It's missing because there is a thief at work. And there's the inner circle. And those things which are not are included. Abraham wanted a son. Time and years went by, and still the promise of God delayed. God had promised him that son. We all know the story. God had promised him that son. next month goes by, turns into 6 months, turns into a year, turns into years, and Abraham still has not got the son that he'd been promised. So in that inner circle, Abraham, and there's a circle, and there's something that's missing, and it's his son. That thing which is not. And Abraham was coming before God for those things which are not in this natural sphere of life, the seen realm, the experienced realm, the physical realm. And there's a thief at work, John 10:10. Jesus told us this. He says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, there's that circle. And now what I want you to do is to complete the picture. And I want you in your mind to draw a huge outer circle all around that inner circle. And that outer circle is God, His eternity, all of His promises, which are yes and amen. And you are still in the middle of that outer circle and that inner circle, your life. And now the beautiful picture becomes real. That in the realm of our experience, that smaller inner circle where the devil and the demons are stealing, there is always, at all times, the eternal realm of God's promises all around us, where the angelic are, where the angel of the Lord of hosts encamps around about you. And if God is the one that surrounds the outer perimeter and everything that's in it, then truly can anything really escape your life? Can anything actually really be permanently stolen away from you? There is no way, because God encompasses that whole realm. And now Abraham comes before God and seeing the inner circle of his life's experience, but knowing that God's eternal promises, which are yes and amen. God, He is the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the beginning, He's the end. There is no variableness or shadow of turning in Him. And if that describes our God and God encompasses our life, there's a beautiful word in Psalm 139 that says that He encompasses your path. And that word means that the path of your life, He's literally encompassed your whole life. And no matter what takes place on that path, good and bad, He is still encompassed it all. In other words, a hedge of protection around it all. And we know that He's placed a hedge of protection around about us. And so that life that we have, that Abraham had, he was able to stand before God and he was able to say, God, and believe in the God who calls those things which are not on the inner circle. The temporary stealing away of that thief, as though they already were, have been, and are available at all times to you and to me. Therefore, God can restore anything to your life according to His plan and His purpose. He can restore those dreams, those broken areas. He can fix it. And it's the God that I have faith in for so many of the areas of my life that I'm currently in the midst of, as you are, to understand that nothing has actually been removed from me. It cannot escape God. So it's beautiful to know that God never changes. He loves us. He's timeless. If you could think even of, we think in a linear timeline of past and future and present. Or you're looking at me, so past, future, present, whatever way. And we think in a linear timeline. And we think of things that have gone out of our life in childhood, in adolescence, in adulthood, mistakes along the way, areas that the thief has seen an opportunity and come in. And it's always an opportunity that we give him. And he comes in and he steals from your life to bring pain and torment and heartbreak and destruction. We think of that linear line and we think of those things of having gone. They're gone. But God, he is timeless. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, when I come before God for my dreams, I literally believe in a dimension where God is still in my childhood. Because there's no time to God. God is still in my future. God has seen my future. He has seen your future. And it's good. Isn't that awesome? To know that if God has written the pages of life, he's seen your future, and it's good. He's seen your past, and he's in your past. But to God, all things are present. You know, I often wondered that analogy when Moses went and was transfigured on the mount in the Old Testament. And there was something glorious because he encountered the glory of God. We know that Jesus is the glory of God. And Moses went up to the mountain, he was transfigured. And there was a moment where, I believe, he entered into the timeless realm of God. And then we see Moses in the New Testament on the mount when Jesus was transfigured. And there's Moses and there's Elijah. And the disciples saw it, and there was a moment of human time entering timelessness. And when Moses was on the top of that mountain, and God says, "I'll show you my glory," he literally came face to face with Jesus, the glory of God. And so, at that one time in the New Testament, we were seeing God existing out of time, and Moses and Elijah and all this human timeline is all at one thing to God. So even the areas of your past have not escaped him because it's timeless. So God can go into your childhood. He can go into your ancestry line. And when you come before him in faith and say, "God, fix it," and align yourself with the promise of God, he can change anything. He can remove, he can heal, and he can restore and reset, because all things already exist and always do. That timeless dimension of God, Alpha and Omega. That's why, and God is he's constant. He will never change his mind. That's why we've got a hope. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. This morning, if you think that you've missed it, if you think that these things that have been promised have never actually happened in my life, they're without repentance. They will never be taken away from your life. That means no devil can steal your destiny. No devil can steal your future, your dreams. He can do it temporarily in that inner circle, but is always still accessible. So that picture of the two circles, here's my experience right now, and the enemy, the thief, has come into my life to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's mistakes that I make along the way that give him a foothold to come in. And it's like leaving the back door open of your house. Well, the thief came in and stole, but you were the one left the back door open. That's not bringing guilt to you. It's just showing cause and effect. The Bible says of the curse that it doesn't land without a cause. And so there's areas of our life where we make mistakes, and that's okay because God knows our weaknesses. It's okay this morning if you've made mistakes. And all those mistakes have been as they've opened a back door in your life. And the thief looks at you, he's sitting outside your house every day looking to see when you go out, come in, and any opportunity of every day that he can come in and steal. And so he does. We leave a window open here, a back door open here. So the enemy comes in and he steals a little bit more each time. And that's my inner circle. But the awesome thing to realize is that those things have actually never, ever gone away. They've never gone away. Because There is the outer hedge of protection of the Lord of hosts, the angelic realm, the host of heaven, and God Himself. That is the outer perimeter. So the best description I could say to you this morning is that those things that the enemy has sought to steal, kill, and destroy, they've simply been removed temporarily from your reach, from your physical reach, but it has not gone away. They're all still over here and over here. And through that circle, they still surround my life and the things that the enemy has stolen. Jesus says, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so all of those things, they actually still remain. And the picture then I want to take you to of Elisha, which we shared at prayer and fasting, was that scripture. You'll find it in with Elijah and Gehazi, 2 Kings 6, 14-17. And this was a time when Elisha was in Dothan, and basically the Syrian army had come and surrounded the city. And his servant feared, because he looked at that inner circle of the Syrian army. And the Syrian army was there to besiege that city, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And they were all around your city. And you're looking out at the Syrian army. On any obstacle right now, you're looking out at the thief. You're looking out at the demonic realm that is seeking to besiege your life and to stop God's promises coming in, to steal what He can out of it. So think right now what is in your life. You are looking at what Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was looking at, the Syrian army. And yes, they look cruel. And yes, there looks sometimes there may be no hope. And yes, it may be that you look completely outnumbered. And what are we going to do? What am I going to do? And that's where heartbreak and hope becomes deferred and all of those things. But the beautiful picture was that Elisha prayed to God, says, God, open his eyes. And when God opened the eyes of Gehazi, he saw the outer circle. And the outer circle was chariots and horses of the angelic host surrounding the complete Syrian army. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain. And these were the mountains surrounding the Syrian army. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. And here's the point. It doesn't say all around the Syrian army. It says all around Elisha. Because it is all about you. It is all about me this morning. All of your dreams. And so the outer perimeter, it encircles, God encircles your life and everything that is around you. Even the bad stuff of the enemy. So that is a beautiful picture. So that day, Elisha and Gehazi saw that in fact, nothing can escape God. Nothing can come against my life and be removed forever. It's just literally beyond my reach, beyond my physical sight. But if I have faith, I can access it anytime. God's 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, God is faithful that promised. He's promised over your life this morning. And He is faithful to perform it. He is timeless from the beginning of the world. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that scripture says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Because every one of us face that inner circle, the Syrian army coming against your life. Sometimes we blame God for it. Sometimes we get angry at others because they didn't come to help us at the right time. But let me just completely, I believe the Holy Spirit now is just going to open all of our eyes to know that it's none of those things. Those sources of pain and destruction in your life, they are the Syrian army They are the thief whose only agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To always give you a future and a hope. So your future is absolutely protected and you can always have hope. God's plan for your life. God's future for your life. That's why the gifts and callings of God over your life are without repentance. It means they will never be changed, never be taken away. Hallelujah. So if that's the case, just to come to bring this to culmination, how do we access? If truly the dreams, the giftings, the callings, the things that God's promised are still somewhere, even if it's outside of my reach right now, but somewhere they still exist and have never escaped God, how do I access them? And we're left just with two things. If they're in the outer circle, if those things that have been removed, they've now left the inner circle of your life, the Syrian army has besieged it and taken them, and they're out of your immediate experience, those things. How do I access them? First, we've got to realize that they are in the realm of God's eternal covering. He is there over it all. God. So it comes down to God and us. And we know of God that nothing can separate us from His love. Romans 8, 28 to 39. Let's just read this together. God will never change His mind about you. He will never, nothing will be able to separate you from His love and everything that He's purposed for your life. Nothing can separate you. So that though it seems like you've been separated from it in your inner circle, nothing can actually separate you from it. And we know that all things now work together for good. Even those things of the inner experience. Right now, you could be going through heartache in that inner circle, that dimension where the devil it just tries to steal your life. But if we'll always trust that the greater one has encompassed my path, then He will even take those things that the enemy tries for bad, like Joseph, and He will turn it around, and He will bring it into line with His everlasting, unchanging purpose for your life, and He will make it good. And when He resets it, when He makes it good, it is better than it ever could have been. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and we know that the things that were all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. Look at that. For whom He foreknew. Going right into the eternity of your past and planning your life and speaking His word over your life and speaking His dreams over your life. That word foreknew is an awesome word to get our heads around. God knew me before I knew Him and before I knew myself and before I was born. For whom He foreknew, He knew beforehand. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. That's amazing. That's what Psalm 139 is all about. He knew you before your great-great-great-great-grandfather, because every one of us have been in God's heart and plan and purpose from eternity. Our brains can't get it. But that means that if He foreknew me and He encircles my path, nothing can escape out of my life that He has purposed for me. Amen. So He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, that's you and me, these He also called. So you've been called this morning. There's a call in your life, as we said right at the start. There's a call in every one of you. Whether you know salvation or not, you are called this morning. Whom He called, these He also justified. You don't have to be perfect this morning. You don't have to qualify for your call, because praise God who qualified us. He qualifies you. So this is where I called it before the dormouse scenario of men. I'm talking about males of the species. Most of them, when we walk through the door, because, and women are the same. I can only speak for men. But we've got these things, the trappings of physical strength, maybe guilt complex, whatever it is, we come in and we just turn into this almost like a quiet, condemned state in church. Because we think, well, I can't stand up there. I can go down maybe to the pub and tell a few jokes, or I can go and onto the sporting pitch and I can prove myself there. But in church, well, because there's a voice pointed against you, accusation of the enemy. But we did not have to qualify for your call, because God has already justified and qualified you. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about this morning. If you do not know salvation, if you have not received such great salvation over your life, Jesus has already paid the price for your sin. That all you need to do this morning is by faith receive it and realize that you will never qualify. You will never be good enough. So what's the point in that thought process? You have got to realize, to accept the free gift of salvation, which becomes like a robe of righteousness. That when you accept it, you literally put on a robe of perfection before God as though you've never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. It covers your life, past, present, and future. Because whilst we're on this earth, we are still weak. So God has justified you. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No matter what besieges your life, no matter what Syrian army comes against you, if God is for you, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that he has planned for our life, even the things that we think are not? Every promise, he will freely give all things. Amen. And 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. That's why we should never speak about one another. We should never criticize one another, because every one of us has failings. Every one of us has weakness. But it is God that justifies me, and it is God that justifies you. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall, and this is the beautiful culmination of this, so who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, think of the Syrian army, think of the inner circle, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and everything that his love has promised us. It cannot be separated from you. It is impossible to separate God's will and plan and blessings from your life. It can only, therefore, be temporarily removed, just waiting to be restored. Amen. I just want to close with, which is God's compassion for us. And if we really believe that this morning, that there's nothing that can separate us from His love. Guilt, sickness, mistakes. Nothing can separate it from His love. And Abraham was able to come before God and believe in God who calls those things which therefore have seemingly been separated, which are not, as though they have always been and will never be taken away. Calls those things which are not as though they were. God will never change His mind about you. When you come this morning for prayer, or you just go home and pray to God, don't pray in a way thinking that those things have been separated from you. But God is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And if we can believe for the compassion of Jesus, if you literally believe right now, whatever it is, you can believe God for anything that He's purposed for your life. Anything. Because Jesus, when He was walking and He saw the multitudes, He had compassion. Compassion on them. That's what led Jesus to weep over Lazarus' death. It wasn't the fact that Jesus couldn't raise Lazarus from the dead. Of course He could, but He still wept. He had complete compassion. And for what I know this morning is that whatever you bring before God in your pain, because it's in your pain where you will find Him. What you bring to God in your pain and believe that He is faithful, the promised, and believe that He will restore you. He will restore you. He will never turn you away because He has compassion on you. Jesus, right now, He has compassion on you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.